A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples, and again a crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." His mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, if you're like me, you always think of two things when you hear this gospel about this everlasting sin, the sin that won't be forgiven. Did I ever commit that one? No. I hope not. And then the second thing we think of in this is the Blessed Mother shows up and she's outside and it sounds like Jesus is dissing her. No. Who's my mother and my brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God. Well, I think neither of those interpretations are much of anything, right? The book of Genesis opens us up today, and it's chapter 3 in the book of Genesis. Right? It's telling that story of the fall of Adam and Eve. And you know how those first two chapters opened up, and it's all the story of God creation. And the most important part of that creation is where he creates the man and the woman, and he puts them in the garden. And the depiction of that original innocence is perfect harmony. You know, they have everything in paradise that God wanted for them. And they're happy. They're happy there. And that was God's original plan for all of us. To live in that peace and harmony with each other and with God. But by chapter 3, it all starts to come apart. That's where we pick up the story. The serpent was the most cunning of all the animals God had created. And he comes and he presents Eve a temptation. That tree in the middle of the garden is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then she looks at the tree and the fruit, and it was desirable for the knowledge it would give. And that knowledge is the knowledge of being able to decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. And that's the great temptation they face, that even despite the fact that they had everything, they wanted one thing more, which belonged only to God. The right to determine what was good and evil. But they have a rude awakening when they eat of the fruit of that tree. When they try to take for themselves that power over good and evil. all of a sudden, everything goes astray. And you find Adam, as the scripture reading starts, hiding from God. He used to walk in the garden with God in the evening and talk in a familiar, friendly way with God. And now he's got to cover himself out of shame. And he hides from God, who's given him everything. And God asks him what he's done. And Adam turns and blames the woman. It was that woman you put here. So the alienation and the division isn't just between Adam and God. It's now between Adam and his wife. And that, the scripture is trying to tell us, is characteristic of every sin. Yes, it separates us from God to the point where we hide from God and we try to push him out of our lives so we don't have to deal with our Creator. But it also alienates us from each other. It creates that division amongst us. Every sin does that. Even when it seems to be a sin simply against God, it breaks those bonds between us. They reject that paradise that God wanted for them because of their desire to determine for themselves good and evil. So then God condemns the serpent, the evil one. And he promises, in so many words, a Redeemer, his Son, Jesus. That would be God's plan. That Alleluia verse was so beautiful and so important. It's almost like we could make that the whole summary of what we're talking about. Now the ruler of the world will be driven out, says the Lord. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. The world's ruled by Satan, the evil one. He has his way. Scripture refers to him as the ruler of the world because we often reject God's plan and we listen to the temptation that we can determine good and evil ourselves, that we can create the future we want regardless of what God says, and that always create shame and humiliation, division. Not just between us and God, but amongst ourselves. And that's the story of human history. The more we're convinced that we can control it all, that the next invention or the next technology is going to do it for us, prosperity, power, the more we turn those inventions of our own into enemies. And the more we face that division amongst ourselves. And that brings us to the gospel. It's chapter 3 of St. Mark. And it's Jesus has already now got a reputation for one who expels demons and overcomes the power of Satan. And he's been doing that. And he's breaking the power of the evil one. In person after person. And now he comes back home. And his relatives react badly. They think he's out of his mind. And others say he casts out demons by the power of demons. In other words, they can't believe that the power of God has come into the world. And that the ruler of the world will be driven out. That's a stretch for them to believe. No. They've made their accommodation with evil. That's just the way the world is. Don't be a dreamer. You're out of your mind if you think you can change that. Who do you think you are? We hear that over and over again. That voice of cynicism, of negativity, of hopelessness, of despair. That even Jesus Christ can't break the power of the evil one over us. We've seen people try. But Jesus says, no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder him unless he first binds and ties up the strong man. Jesus is the one that enters and binds the power of the evil one. He breaks it. And when they criticize him, he says, you're committing the unpardonable sin because you don't believe that even God has the power to change this world, to break the power of the devil, to cast out the ruler of this world. So often we don't believe that we can change. So often we don't believe that God can change us, that God can forgive us, that God can give us a new life. And we doubt. But Jesus is the one who can break all the chains that bind us, all that slavery. He can free us from it. He can free us from the power of the ruler of the world. And when his mother comes with his relatives, he's not dissing her. He's proclaiming to everyone that those who are there in that circle around him, who are listening to him, who are putting their hope in him, they are the true brothers and sisters. They are the ones who put their trust in him, not in themselves, not in our inventions, not in our technology, not in our wisdom, but in the word of Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you to break the power of evil that's in my life, to expel the demons that infest my soul, to overcome whatever it is that holds me back, because I want to be your brother and sister and mother. Only Jesus is our hope for that. And that's why it's such an unpardonable sin to doubt that even God can't fix what he's created. God can fix us all if we trust in him.